Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
As we move forward in our sporting landscape, the college football world is one that is
in disarray.
In disarray is a kind way to say it, right? Because there's reality.
Dumpster fire.
Right. Well, that's even better. I saw someone that was decorating dumpster fire cookies that they were selling with on it. It was pretty good.
Interesting.
I was thinking about trying to make a batch of those myself.
2020s.
Over the course of the weekend. But you've got reality, you've got talking points, and the truth lying somewhere in between, right?
Somewhere.
Somewhere on that continuum.
I don't even know if it's in between in this scenario. Somewhere around.
It's laying around, right?
Yeah, because it might be in bits and pieces. It might not even be all in the same place. It might be scattered around.
Yeah, because we talked about the Big Ten and the about face and the 72 hours of confusion of, hey, we got a schedule. It's conference only. Let's go. And as you and I have talked about here in this spot and certainly on our Sunday show, as you got it into conference by conference, look, everybody's playing by the same set of rules. So it made sense, right? Here's our conference charter, and here's the edicts as to how you're handling safety protocols. Everybody's on board. You don't have to worry about some non-conference foe that they've decided they're going to handle things differently. No, everybody signs off. All ADs affix their signatures, the handshake. Everybody claps and moves on. Mm-hmm. Well, it seemed like we had gotten that because you released a schedule. Mm-hmm. Unless when you release the schedule, you say, hey, this doesn't mean we're playing it. And sure enough, within 72 hours, we get.
But that's 2020 hindsight. When they released the schedule, teams had started practicing and everything. There were practice sessions that had taken place. You had to pull them babies up off of that field and tell them that we got to wait and see. If the season is, you know how many calls I got that day?
Oh, I have no doubt.
I was on Speak for Yourself that day.
Fox Sports 1, you should check it out.
And I was getting so many. I do the show from my phone. And I was getting so many calls. And it was like some of them was during the show. So I'm sitting there. Bam, this kid from Penn State calling. Bam, this kid from Penn State calling. Bam, this kid. I'm sitting there having to decline all of the calls during the segments.
What's it cost for me to come sit next to you and to hold your phone and be your assistant? LeVar is unavailable right now.
Whatever. You want to know the heartbreak and heartache you feel when you read the messages that they were sending and the conversations that ensued once I got off of the show and was able to call them back, the uncertainties that exist.
But that's just it. They don't believe anybody's being straight with them is the problem.
And how can you be? You know, how can you, you know, now they've since come out and said, well, people will be given another year to be able to play and they'll honor them for another year. But do you understand how that's like all the antelope going across the water, and every last one of them made it all the time. Like the crocodiles never caught up to them, never got a hold of any of them. There was never a nature's, you know, cycle that was taking place. So now you got a whole bunch. You're being overran by antelope. You know, and I know that might be a crazy analogy, but it is.
I dig that. We watch a lot of nature shows.
It's definitely
in here, right?
Very fitting because in order for those crocodiles to thrive, they have to get so many of them to be able to make it to the next time that they get an opportunity to get crossers. And the same thing goes for the population control of those antelope. They got to get caught up so that the numbers are controlled. I look at what's going on right now. The reason why that analogy is so specific to what we're talking about is when you get to that fourth year, fifth year, and every once in a while, like every blue moon, you get a 6-year guy, you got to move on. Those guys have got to leave, and they've got to be out of the way because you have freshmen that you've promised that they're going to play, four-star, five. Let's be clear here, people. If you're going to get a four-star and a five-star to come to your school over another school, you know what you got to tell them? You're going to play early.
You made promises that you now have to keep. Otherwise, transfer portal become two words that you get to know pretty
imagine
fast.
Imagine you promised them a number, and that guy's going to return now that COVID made it so a guy could return. Like, there's so many different things. And young, like you said, with the portal, young student athletes are very, very fickle these days. It's been that way for quite some time. When you have minor league sports, hockey, soccer, basketball, they're already really, really being inundated with how it all works at a very, very high professional level. They're able to play against pros and Pan Am, you know, and leagues and stuff like that, and scrimmages and exhibitions. You're able to have that contact. You don't have that dynamic in football. And so when you have these guys coming in and they're expecting to play, they are expecting to play. Justin Fields was expecting to play. He left. Joe Burrow was expecting to play. He left. Guys will leave if they're not getting that opportunity. And I just feel like this whole deal is going to totally throw off the balance of a season, for one. And for two, what does your roster even look like coming back into the next season?
Well, and that's one of the big parts, and something Jason and I thought a lot about, and you know, we'd brought it up last week on the Sunday show, 6 to 10 Pacific, LeVar and I, every Sunday morning for you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can always go to Apple Podcasts, go to Google Play, wherever you pull down audio, get the archives, all big topic. I mean, because it's been heavy stuff and deep thoughts on this for quite a while. But spring football, I mean, you ever want to test the next man up theory? Here it is. Because, I mean, you got a few guys that opted out in the uncertainty, right? And we talked about it. You had from Minnesota and from Penn State, you had an offense, you had a wide receiver, and you have a linebacker, two studs, right? All conference kind of guys, and they're done, right? Mm-hmm. They tapped out, and then everything fell from there. But the number of players that are going to look at what spring football, even if it starts in January or whatever cockamamie schedule you try to put together, you got a lot of guys who are just going to say, I'm out.
What
I'm
is
training.
That, but what does that mean for the following season? What does that mean for your credibility with your coaching staff? There's so many pressures that mm-hmm. people, regular civilians, will never have the idea of how that feels. But let me tell you something. If you're there on scholarship and they're telling you you're going to need to play during this spring season, you're going to have to play. That's your obligation. That's your contract. Whoa.
You just said contract.
Sorry.
You just said contract.
Sorry.
How dare you try to slip that language
I'm
in
so
on
sorry.
Me?
That,
you know I'm catching that,
that
word.
That is your student tuition commitment to the university.
Room, board,
and
et cetera.
It's football team.
Well, but I mean, that is the reality of where we are, right? And which is always, as this conversation went on, you
they
thought you'd have everything
though.
Together. Yeah, it is.
You
I
do
mean,
have
it's
to
a
sign
series of 1 year contracts.
Every single year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that we had 4 to 5 months to, quote,
figure
fix
it out.
Things and
you
figure it
you
out.
You don't even
now.
Have to fix it. Just figure it out.
Well, but in theory, you
if
had that.
If it's broke, then let's use this 4 or 5 months to say, hey, man, it's broken.
Well, that goes back to the Pac-12 letter. Right, because then you had the Big Ten players' letter, which two vastly different things.
Can you
right? Pac-12 players wanted the world? Big Ten players just said, "Give us the safety protocol."
Can you answer me this question?
Riddle me this, Batman. Sure.
Riddle me this. All right. If the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or any of these other conferences that opted out on having the season, if they had just came out and said what the truth was, like you don't have to hide behind totally behind the health aspects of it, the COVID aspect. If they came out and said, we are not prepared to answer the questions that will come after a season of pushing through COVID. Would you have respected them coming out and saying, listen, we really don't know how to answer the question to what amateurism is versus fair compensation or employment, you know, pro status? Would you have been okay if they had just came out and said, we've mowed over what can come of us doing what we have to do? We have to create an environment where we keep them away from the general population. We have to do this. We have to make concessions for this. But that falls under a different category of what is expected of a student athlete. Would you have been okay if they had just came out and said it?
Well, I would have been wondering what the underlying motive was, because I wouldn't expect him to be honest in that regard, to be perfectly frank, right? If they'd said that, I think I probably would have had 5 minutes of silence for the first part of my life, because I would have felt someone actually addressed the question.
And then you know what you would have felt?
Because it wasn't after a politician's answer.
You would have felt some type of clarity as to what's going on.
No, sure, because that's the big deal, right? It's liability. And then it's the amateurism,
it's competition,
right? Those are the two things.
Yes.
And we've talked about it, and you and I, we went back and forth. We did not come to an agreement on the term exploitation.
Okay.
And I come back to, we can both, I think, agree that you don't get enough.
Yeah,
No, because there's a lot of folks that go back to the, I get nothing.
I'm not comfortable with saying exploitation. Let's be clear. I don't condone exploitation being a full-blown, overstated term to express and define amateurism at the college level. However, what I will say is, as I've said in shows prior to now, you are treated as an employee, but you don't get paid. You don't get compensated as an employee. So everything has always been like, could you imagine like working for Fox Radio and they just told you, you know what, as long as you work for Fox, we'll pay for you to go to school. We'll pay for you to go to school. Well, you know what? Here's what we'll do. We'll give you a dorm room or a on-campus apartment at Fox Properties, and you can stay there. And we'll give you 3 hots, so you'll get breakfast.
Okay.
You'll get lunch. You'll get dinner. All right? But for you to do that, you have to be accessible to us all day.
Yeah, I'm going to plead the fifth based on my early working years here.
But you're not going to get paid any money.
No, I get that.
A couple dollars. Maybe they'll give you $200, $300. Maybe they'll give you $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Some spending money, right? Maybe you could get an appellate grant or something like that. I
actually used to work in financial aid, so I can go deep into that stuff.
Long-lasting way of a poor person being able to get a couple dollars in their pocket. But if you have to start undoing all of those conversations of what the grants and the aids and what it can, and you're talking about some of these schools are state-funded schools, so what are the rules? What governs these schools? Because they have to abide very closely. If they get a grant and they give the grant money to this person and this person and this person, and they get this grade and this grade and this grade, you don't have to pay the grant back. There are so many different pieces of red tape that surround and circle what takes place when you're getting government funding and different things like.
Well, the grants are generally based on financial need versus the academic side. But your point's well taken.
That yeah, man.
You're like, I mean, we're talking about where's that gap, right?
And it's a big one.
But trying to figure out between, because look, the argument from many in our sports media world has been these guys get nothing, and it's like. No, there's value. It's just we've got to figure out what that hole is to make everybody whole as we go through. And that's the 800-pound gorilla just kind of hanging out in the background.
What do you think in general at a Power 5 school, what do you think the profit margin is for the school? Like Maybe that's a hard question just off the top of the head to kind of think about.
That's a tough one. I think I'll have to redo a little
research.
Said,
if it, like for me, it's like in business, they say if you can get to a 40% return, you're winning. Like, I wonder, does college athletics at these major Power 5 schools, do they have more of a 40% residual income on profit margin on what they have going on?
I think some do. I think there'd be more. I think we'd be surprised at the number of that wouldn't.
You think?
I think.
If you have a really dope football team,
but that's the thing.
People are going to pay to come to that school.
That's the thing, right?
If you have a dope basketball team, people are, but that's Power Five. Name a Power Five school where they don't go.
Rutgers.
People still support Rutgers. People still support Rutgers.
I didn't want to make the joke
I think
about
if
Rutgers,
you,
but
no, it's pretty good.
But it's something
pretty good.
But I think that's something
because I can make the same argument statement against Northwestern. But people support Northwestern.
But they've now been at least relevant for 20 straight years.
But they not us. They're not Michigan. They're not.
No, but they're also
Ohio State.
But they're also not a public 60,000 person undergrad
but
school.
But people will pay because of the educational standard that's at Northwestern. And, oh, by the way, they have pretty good athletics here.
Right.
That's why Pat Fitzgerald is such a prominent figure.
Sure.
Like, people
love the fact
that Pat Fitzgerald.
But you got to get that momentum going.
Yes. But most schools have that. So it's kind of like when you look at it, the point that I'm getting at is that you're generating funds. You're generating things off of, you're generating a profit off of what these kids are doing. So what I ask myself is, what would be the bare minimum that you would be able to collect on a scholarship or on tuition? If these kids are paying tuition and it's a 40% markup or a 50% markup from what they would have to pay, which why wouldn't a school do that if you're Alabama? You know, if you're Oklahoma, if you're Wisconsin, if you're Iowa, why wouldn't you do it? If you're a state school, you're state funded, the state's going to take care of the state kid anyway. They don't have to pay. But if you coming from out of state, that markup is significant.
Significant, no question. No question.
So when you're talking about the finances and the economics of what these schools' business plans and their models are, they indeed have a business model that surrounds what it is that they're doing. No matter if it's nonprofit, because a lot of these institutions are nonprofits.
Yeah, and that's a four-letter word as well,
because
we know how that works.
All
we know how that works in all of this too. See,
putting y'all up on game.
See, now
man.
All of a sudden everything's, you know, you've set the world ablaze.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Certainly, we just finished the restart possibilities here for the National Basketball Association as we think about 2020, 2021. Could we see it again? Can it work? College basketball, thinking of trying it. But we bring on one of our esteemed colleagues, Fox Sports NBA analyst, Bleacher Report senior writer. It's our buddy. It's Kurt Heelan. At Basketball Talk is where you find him. What's going on, buddy?
I was told that there would be no thinking involved. If I have to think, I don't know, man.
Uh-oh. No? Come
we're not,
on, man.
We're not going to make you think, bro.
Oh. See, and I had the wrong bio.
It's Friday night, man. You know, there's only so much thinking.
Hey, Kurt. I totally agree with you on this one, my friend.
All right, we won't make you carry the one because we actually have to have our research staff do some data points because we've been talking about college football, and that'll bleed into college basketball discussions, Kurt.
Just tell us what you don't have to think about.
But there you go. What we don't have to think about, at least
there.
For the moment, is, I mean, the seeding's all done, and it's all nice and neat and in a bow, zero positive tests. Overall thoughts on the bubble and what you watched over the last couple of weeks, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind was simply that it did work. And I think the NBA's bubble has advantages. Basketball, frankly, flat out just has advantages because of the roster size, because of the size of the court and the equipment and everything needed. You can put it in a facility like Disney in a way that's much – you can't create a football bubble like an NFL bubble. It's just – it's very difficult to do it for baseball. The NBA was able to do it, but they got – it's got buy-in from the players. Adam Silver had a trust factor with the players' union. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that Manfred really didn't have that. I feel comfortable with that.
You think?
Yes.
Rob Manfred, you don't think he's got the trust of people? Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, they've found a way to make it work, and they've put on – look, some teams took it like the Bucks kind of took it as an extended exhibition season. Other teams were playing really, the Suns or whatever were playing really hard every night. But it was pretty entertaining. There were close games. Guys, it's amazing how much closer the games get when you take, like, the eight worst teams and just cut them out of the league. And we had – look, there was going to be unpredictability, and I think that that's what I enjoyed most about it. Like, nobody saw the Suns being this good. Nobody saw T.J. Warren becoming a scoring machine. That kind of unpredictability, I hope it carries over to the playoffs. We'll see. But that's been the fun part for me. It's just that we knew that there would be stuff we didn't expect, and I was just looking forward to seeing what that was.
All right. Now, with all that being said, tell me when you look at how they're playing and how things are going down on the court, is it realistic to think that some of these guys that are emerging, even though they may be going home, some of them that emerged that is actually who they could possibly be? Like, how are you interpreting how some of these teams have played in these uncertain times?
It varies a little person to person and situation to situation. Am I convinced Bol Bol can be some sort of standout in Denver, when this is all? I mean, no, he's got some work to do. But Devin Booker was kind of already an all-star, so I'm not, like, the fact that they started winning around him, when this thing started, you heard the Pelicans and the Kings and Greg Popovich was talking about with the Spurs and the Suns were all like, hey, whatever happens, this is a chance for us to really build something and to build some chemistry, and then we'll come back next year even better. This is a chance for us to get in some real work for culture building.
Are you buying that?
Well, not in the case of the Kings. Mm. Not in the case of the
Sea of Vlade.
Not in the case. But the Suns did. And I'm buying it with the Suns. I think that they can carry a lot of this over. I think Monty Williams is your coach of the bubble because of his ability to really get buy-in from the players. Like, hey, we could win all eight games and still not make the playoffs, but we're going to play hard and give this thing a shot. And I think that kind of momentum and energy and just that positive feeling in a locker room is the kind of thing that will carry over.
A little bit of a college bowl season is what it felt. And for guys like Devin Booker kind of looking up going, hey, people actually pay attention to games I'm playing in because they're forced to sit and watch bubble games when they wouldn't be watching me because they're all asleep by the time I play on the West Coast.
Yeah, and the Suns not exactly on national television a lot because, well, they suck. So,
Well, but that was the other thing, Kurt, was people get, oh, it's too bad they're not in. It's like, you know what? Don't be bad for 5 months.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that they can change that. And I think that on the flip side, you've already seen that change in Sacramento. Like you said, Vlade Divac is out. To be honest, I would be surprised if Alvin Gentry is the coach of the Pelicans next year. I think that this woke some teams up to, hey, we had this opportunity and our guys came out flat. And that's just not a good sign for our culture.
AD has been much maligned. I said earlier in the show to Mike that he has to go from being Cringer to Battle Cat and He-Man. LeBron has to ride him through the playoffs. Is the criticisms warranted of AD? Do you have an idea as to what you project the Lakers to do in the playoff run?
I don't have any criticism. I don't think you can criticize AD. Look, could he have handled the exit, and he and Rich Paul handled the exit a little more smoothly? Probably. But you look at that team, and it's like, yeah, he wanted out. When you watch him play here, he's going to get MVP votes. And it's not just because he's a Laker, it's because he's that good and put in an opportunity to play with the right guys around him in a situation that fits him. They're that good. He's their secret. Look, LeBron's not exactly a secret weapon anymore at age 35. Like, we know what we're going to get. We also know how good he can be, how special he can be, and that the Lakers have some veteran role players. But Anthony Davis is the part that nobody counts on. LeBron and Anthony Davis form the best pick and roll in the league. And at the end of the day, Frank Vogel can just roll that out for the last 5 minutes of the game, and good luck stopping it.
Hmm.
And it makes them really tough to beat if they're defending okay, if they're shooting well enough earlier in the game to get to that point. I think they're at least a conference finals team. Can they beat the Clippers? You know, the Clippers haven't looked spectacular. Let's see what everybody looks like when we get that far. But the problem for the Lakers is Memphis. They don't get to – this isn't the Bucks, man. They don't get to coast through the first round. They're going to get Portland. Portland is battle-tested. Portland is legitimately good and finally healthy again with, you know, Jusuf Nurkić and Zach Collins and everybody back. Portland is a problem.
Everybody's saying Portland.
To push you.
Wow. Because of the backcourt.
Yeah, well, look, that is an elite backcourt. But now, I mean, the guy that really sets them apart, though, is Jusuf Nurkić.
Mm.
Because he is such a good passer, he can get the ball at the nail or the elbow. And you watch, when he gets the ball, watch how they all start cutting. Because they know if they make a sharp cut and the defender falls asleep for a second, they're going to get the pass. He's not Jokic, like, highlight film guy, but he makes the right play. He finds the guy in the corner or whatever's going on, and that just opens up their offense so much. They really missed having him out there. And now you've got Carmelo Anthony out there playing, finally taking a play. He's accepted a role. He's playing like, you know, Olympic Melo out there. I don't think they beat the Lakers, but the Lakers, they don't get to coast through the first round and find their sea legs.
Let me ask you this. Who's the dark horse? Because I believe a dark horse is going to win it.
Really?
Interesting.
Yes. In the East, I like Boston because I like versatile teams. And you got to think about, they run out Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Gordon Hayward with their center du jour. And then they bring Marcus Smart off the bench. They can throw a lot of looks at you. That's a lot of guys who can score, man. I like that team. I think they're a player away, but I like that team a lot. In the West...
What about Philly?
I want to believe. I genuinely want to. But
I did. I sold my shares in that. I'm done.
Yeah, there's just – they haven't hit shots, man. Like, I you know, for NBC, I had to do a pick your two upsets, one in each conference, and I picked Philly beating Boston as the upset because if it all comes together, if they could find a way to start playing, like, closer to what they did – Last playoffs,
right.
Right. If they can find that shooting and find that flow again, then absolutely they're a threat. On paper, they're a threat. But who's their Jimmy Butler right now?
Hmm.
He's Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor over at NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. He's also a wannabe foodie.
Oh.
All right, Kurt, you mentioned the Bucks and cruise control thus far, and at times just looked grossly uninterested.
Yep.
And disinterested, I should say, in the whole process, the headbutting aside. The guys are agitating Giannis. I mean, that's certainly there. He's a little bit chippy, more so than we've seen. Can they just flip the switch and get right back to it? I mean, I know we talked about their defense, and they cut through, you know, like a warm knife through butter.
Some butter.
But, you know, is this one where after watching the 8 games, you kind of raise an eyebrow going, all right, I don't know that they necessarily have the same buy-in. Is that just something they can get back?
I think so, because I think that what you saw with them, knowing that they were going to lock up the one seed, the Lakers concerned me because their shooting was bad, but the Bucks really intentionally, and Budenholzer pretty much, look, I've heard this off the record from guys there, but like on the record, he pretty much said, we're easing into this. We're treating these as preseason games so we can hit the ground running. If they stumble against Orlando in the first round, then I'm going to have pause. Right now, I'm willing to bet that they can flip the switch and get back to defending the way they are and get back to, you know, Giannis attacking the rim and all the things they do right. Brook Lopez, you know, he struggled with his shot. That's back now. The real keys for them, I'm not really worried about Giannis Antetokounmpo being good because he's going to be good. It's they're going to need big series from the second round on from Eric Bledsoe, from Chris Middleton, who's been great in the playoffs. But like those guys have to show up nightly if they're really going to take that next step. And the defense has to be there every night. I'm a believer in them being able to flip that switch. But I think even those of us who are believers – I just have a little bit of hesitancy because I've never seen it. Mm. Like, I don't really have a question that LeBron James can flip the switch or a Kawhi Leonard coached by Doc Rivers. I just got a feeling they can do it because I've seen them do it. I haven't seen the Bucks do it, man.
Hmm. He's Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor over at NBCSports.com.
Hope
looking forward to the playoffs, buddy.
You didn't think too much, did you?
Games that matter, man.
Yeah, you didn't have to think too much, did
no
you?
No thinking?
I'm looking forward to games that matter. It's going to be fun. LeVar, keep him out of trouble, would you?
Yes, I'm going to try. I can only hope to contain him, though.
My guy, good to hear from you. Look forward to talking to you throughout the playoffs. We finally made
it. Buddy.
All right,
be
Kurt.
Be good. That's Kurt Heelan.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Now, here's the question for you. And there's craziness, of course, always. We've talked about the bubble and trying to sneak people into the bubble. The NBA had to put out a notice earlier this week saying, hey, only people you've known a while get to come into the bubble. Mm-hmm. I.e., please don't have the IG models coming in.
Well, you've known them for a while.
Well, no, but my argument was, look, in this COVID era, where in online dating in general has gone through the roof. I mean, we don't hide and run away from it. But in COVID-19 day, I mean, there's a lot more. I can go into the business aspects for our friends here in the Valley as to how much their webcam series and opportunities have really skyrocketed their revenue streams.
Personally, I think they should have the IG models come on.
You can't even say that with a straight
face. I mean, don't go out there. Have them come in.
Well, we talked about the underground tunnels.
Clean them up. Clean them up. Test them out. Let them roll. Well, see their friends that they've known for some time now.
Look, man, it's like a pen pal finally comes to town. It's like, hey!
They've known each other in the DMs, and now they're going to finally meet.
Well, that's it. You know what? They've shared a lot of intimate experiences.
You can do it, I'm sure.
And
I'm
now sure it's next level.
Okay.
That you can push forward. So you had Kemah Sivrelund. Sivrelund?
Couldn't have been an easy name to say.
No, of course not.
Right.
He was released by the Seattle Seahawks after he was caught on video attempting to sneak a visitor into the team hotel.
We called him Sivrelund Succotash today.
Whoa, that's pretty good.
Yeah, go ahead.
Although I don't know that character gets to really be himself anymore now, does he?
Yeah, you're right.
No, it's a whole, well, you said it, it's done.
Oh, my goodness, dump.
No, not at all.
I'm joking, go ahead.
Not yet. Did not cite a reason for his departure, simply noting it helped the team trim its roster to 76 players. But Tom Pelissero said he was rookie out of Oklahoma State. He was trying to bring a woman into the facilities wearing Seahawks apparel in an attempt to look like a player. Now, this got some jokes. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel and other. We're not going to quote him here because he's probably going to get in trouble for what he had to say about the woman and her appearance. Mm-hmm. Let's say as it flows. But with all the protocols in place, is this simply a fall guy excuse? Because, I mean, I don't know that you've seen enough of a couple days in camp to say this guy can't play.
Oh, no. That was definitely a tone setter. You know, he had the third lowest signing bonus of all undrafted free agents. The third lowest. I think his signing bonus was like 2 G's.
Wow.
Something like that.
That's a harsh reality right there.
There people were talking about his agent wasn't available for comment. You think? $2,000 signing bonus.
Well,
you know what that agent was sitting there doing, having a yak on the big ball ice. Sitting there like, why me? My one and only client. Why me? Agent was unavailable for comment. And you got some nerve to report that.
Be curious if he maybe what other clients he has, because he's probably doing all the calls. Please don't do this again.
He don't even had no other clients. That was his one client. He was Day Day's homie back in the day, and they was gonna make this thing work and she tried to ride it out until this happened. It was
passed the test, got all the certification, and it gets thrown away.
It was a little bumpy spot, little speed bump on the road to success. That's all. People make mistakes. Like if we're approaching this seriously, people make mistakes. And was it a lame brain move on his part? Yes, it certainly was. Was this the most horrible time in maybe American history that you would do something like that? Yes, it was. Stakes are high. I don't know what he was thinking.
What he was thinking?
Yeah.
Come on, LeVar.
I do know what he – well, listen, we've all been there, and I've heard so many dudes, and it's funny because a lot of the dudes that I've heard giving their takes on it have baby mamas. And it's interesting that people felt like his mistake deserved him being cut from the team. I did not think that it warranted him losing his job. However, I do think that you needed to set a tone and not make it seem like it's okay to try to bring people into this germ-free, monitored environment. But with that being said, we have all made mistakes. We have all had camp eye. I heard somebody
camp eye. That's a good term.
Camp eye. And I heard somebody say, hey, man, he got it too early. Like, he can't be good for this team and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you just don't never know what disciplines people come from. You never know what backgrounds they come from. And, it could have took one conversation, and maybe they did. I don't want to pass a judgment and I'm inaccurate. I don't know all of the details. I will say I find it to be peculiar that they would say that he tried to sneak the woman into the team hotel. They did not say he was trying to sneak the woman into his room. I still have yet to get a report where they said he tried to sneak her into the room.
Yeah, I didn't get that far, I guess. Right?
All right. Well,
To your point.
But what if we're sitting here basing, like, to me, as a Penn Stater, you got to understand, I'm always going to look at due process, always, because to me, you cannot rush to judgment when you don't have all of the facts, because when you do that, you can have very, very inaccurate conclusions.
Sure.
And assessments and assumptions on a matter or on a person in particular. Now, could you imagine if we're sitting here judging this young man off of making I don't care who it was, it's a dumb decision. If you were going to try to do whatever it is you were going to do, you should have been way more creative in how you were going about doing what you were going to do. That's first and foremost. But to think that maybe it wasn't a jump off, maybe it wasn't what everybody was thinking it was going to be. It's fun to make fun of it. It's fun to joke about it, and I get that. But now he doesn't have a job. And what if it was one of those things, I don't know what it could be. It could be something not very extreme. It could be something extreme.
Well, but what's the word of the last 6 months that we use on the Sunday show a lot? Empathy.
Empathy.
Right? Trying to figure out the understanding about our experiences, where we're coming from. In this case, you've got a no-tolerance policy.
Those coaches have – let me tell you something. Not only have those coaches experienced guys doing this, they've probably done it.
Well, but that's the larger thing, right? The time, place, down, distance, all of those kind of things where he becomes...
There may have been a coach that has snuck somebody on into the team hotel. Or maybe they didn't even have to sneak them into the team hotel because they're a coach or they're, on staff as a scout or on staff as a higher up brass of the organization. I just find it to be a little strange, a tad bit hypocritical, a little bit, to me, Bush League in a way, when if that were Russell Wilson, or if it was Bobby Wagner that got caught trying to bring somebody in, if it was Sierra, if I don't know if Bobby's married, if it was his wife, if it was a friend, whatever, would those guys have gotten the same fate?
No.
And everybody, like, you know what?
There'll be a lot of different rules for star players.
And what truly bothers me, some of the greatest players that have ever played this game were undrafted rookie free agents.
It's true.
And what truly bothers me is we all can sit here and comfortably say that the discrimination of a paycheck and a draft status or lack thereof can actually dictate how poorly or how well you're treated. And I think that that's kind of whack. Like,
well, but
I thought it was kind of whack.
No,
honestly.
But to your point, I mean, that's the tale as old as time.
A rookie makes rookie dumb mistakes. Like, that's dumb. Like, I get that that's dumb. You have a very, very big hole to work out of at this point. But to just be like, I'm done with you? Like, come on, man. Like, there have been people that have broke the law. This dude didn't break any laws. He didn't get arrested. He's not on no commissioner's exempt list. He was just thinking with the wrong, you know, thought process.
Wrong thought process. That's the way to put it.
And to me, if as a coach and as an organization, you're still your job and your duty is to develop men. Like, that's still your job in the National Football League. Like, I know it's pros and you got to come in and be a professional.
Right.
But a lot of these guys are still looking for the guidance that is necessary and needed for them to have a good career. And you defer. You punt it. What if this dude goes somewhere else and becomes a perennial Pro Bowler?
I'll tell you this. I hope he gets another shot, right?
Yeah, I just think that that was just way too harsh of a penalty. Like, it's not even like you caught him in the room or caught her on the floor. Like, I have no reports. I've read no materials. Nothing has surfaced that said that that woman made it beyond coming into the front door of the facility. So, in a way, it's kind of like no harm, no foul. Like, you caught him, you caught her, send her on her way, find him, tell him, do it again, you're out of here. And keep it moving.
Because
you know what? That's what you would have did with a guy that was starting on your team.
See, that's the problem with this. And look, you always got to have a fall guy, right? We've learned that throughout the years. He becomes the answer
Don't y'all do it.
The trivia question.
If you right? trigger off a COVID outbreak, your fate is going to be you're getting cut. And that's kind of – people are playing scared right now. Coaches are playing scared. People are – and I understand that. There's a lot at stake here.
Sure.
I don't want to come across as I don't understand the reason why you would make him an example. The contingency that I have on this discussion point is, would you have done that with Jamal Adams? Would you have done that with, like I said, with DK Metcalf? Would you have done it with any of the other players that are starting on your team?
Nope, your investment was $2,000.
There you go.
Right? I mean, let's cut to the chase. So he becomes...
And he's liable. He is culpable.
Right, but he becomes expendable.
Yeah, he was already expendable.
Right, he was already at the
bottom.
And he
was probably a long shot to make... What it says is he was a long shot to make the roster to begin with. But to end it that way and him making a boneheaded decision should not in this instance, it should not dictate what his career should be. And my biggest fear is it will, because there's too much uncertainty. And to get caught up where you lost your job based off of basically compromising the COVID-free zone, it's almost like, nope, this dude was foolish. We're not bringing a fool in here because a fool could end and ruin our season. Done. Like, he was a fringe guy there. He'd probably be a fringe guy here. Done. So now he's done.
About the sanctity of the bubble situations and the fragile nature of all this.
Yeah,
is really what it comes to.
Fragile.
So he becomes the sacrificial lamb, for lack of a better term. Bad decision. Should he have paid the full price? I mean, in the end, probably not going to make the team, as they said.
Probably not going to make it.
Back end guy, but should have been given the opportunity to do so. He still get his name out there. He's shamed as soon as this report gets out. Cutting him, I don't know, maybe you needed some defensive backfield
depth. That's baggage that no team is going to pick up. No. You're not going to pick that baggage up. So, in essence, this young man's career is basically over.
Could have been it. Get him in touch. Well, the XFL might be playing.
But,
soon
you know,
enough.
That's a quick, strong message to you young athletes out there. Don't think that you're big. Oh, wow. Didn't Dion just say this? Don't think that you're bigger than the game.
Well, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, don't think that you're bigger than the game. Yeah. Like, allow your conduct to be a glowing representation of who you are, not a detracting factor that brings reproach upon you and your family name. And I always say that to the young guys, like, that moment, you spent a lifetime building your reputation. Why take a moment to ruin it? It only takes one moment to ruin everything that you've built for so long. Why take a chance and ruin it? Like, I'm sure she was a very fine, lovely young lady. But in these circumstances, you got to take a little bit more time to exercise some real deductive reasoning and some real critical thinking as to what could truly, like, they have security at the front. Like, they are really locked down on how people get in and out of yep. what's going on here. If it was truly that important to you, you try to figure out a way to get out and do what you're going to do, not bring them in and get caught up with what's going to happen. You knew that coming in, and some way, somehow, your reasoning and your critical thinking was not strong enough for you to avoid this hurdle. And to me, that's what's more alarming in this whole entire conversation more than anything else.
Yeah, as we talk about, we have our Find Your Wins on Sunday. We go through the sporting world and outside the sporting world, find some good and light out there. Here in the radio studio, whenever we approach a topic, we always want to make sure there's a win at the end, right? There's a nugget of truth. There's some learning, a stat, whatever it is, some insight that we're passing along. Here goes back to, as we broke down Deion Sanders' comments, and we wished him a happy birthday as yep. we did so, was the idea of take look at the bigger picture. Make sure you're making, going and giving your best effort at the biggest of the brass rings.